Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. on CalBanyan.com. If you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, go there now, because right below this video, there's additional text, additional graphics, and valuable links that will make this video even more valuable than I anticipate it will be. Hey, guess what? We got another episode with Meredith Locker. So happy to have her with us. She provides a unique point of view, an educated point of view, an experienced point of view. She is a woman of experience in the profession. She's a true one percenter, best of the best. And she really, really, really cares about her clients, and her clients rave about her. And I'm just so glad to have her on the show. And if I had someone in Los Angeles where her practice is that needs some help, a family member or a friend, she'd definitely be the person I referred him to. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so good, Cal. It's so great to be back.
Hey.
Yay. I want to make sure everybody knows who you are. And you know what? If I did want to refer to somebody in the Tustin area, I would refer to you. And in fact, I have. I've sent family members to Cal, and I would continue to do it again. That's how great he is. You know, we love our family members, right? Most. And why would we send them back to someone who didn't do it right? And I'll tell you, Cal absolutely fixed my cousin. Yay!
Wow.
But Cal's the one that brought us Five Path, Seventh Path Self-Hypnosis. He's written several books. He's just so able to continue to bring us more and more information all the time. He's growing and evolving. He just recently brought us the Time Tunnel Technique, which he's been trying out on his own for a little while, and now he's brought it to us. We've did some podcasts on it recently, and we're going to be getting more into that either in this podcast or in one coming right up. And, you know, I'm proud to call him my mentor. It's Cal Banyan at the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Tustin, California.
Oh, you're so awesome. Hey, in between the shows, I was talking about all my hypno kids are growing up. They're writing books and doing workshops and seeing a gazillion clients. I'm so proud of you and Elron.
Aw, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, the hypno daddy over here. That's right. And you'll be having little ones of your own pretty soon, and then I'll be the hypno grandpa.
There we go. I don't know. We'll see about that. I think maybe my grand fur babies, your grand fur babies are going to be it for me.
Oh, four-legged hypnotherapist. No, they're not really hypnotherapists.
Well, they kind of do. They're very, very hypnotic, these dogs.
Okay. All right. I love little dogs. I've even had a dog or two in my life, but they're all dead now. Okay. Hey, you know what they should do? Last episode we talked about Mother's Day. There should be a day for dead dogs and dead cats. It's kind of a memorial day for little four-legged critters.
Yeah, well, nothing wrong with that. Hey. I know that I sometimes kind of feel my past dogs walking with my dogs and myself when we go on our walks, and kind of feel them joining us and honor them on just any random Tuesday.
You know, that's truly creepy. All right, let me get into a commercial real quick. Hey, guess what? You want to get certified, or you want to move your practice to the next level? Check out our classes. We've got them listed over on the left side of the site. We got one coming up in July, but they're always listed there over on the left, unless we change. You know, you could be watching this 5 years from now, and maybe we've changed how the website looks. But you know, probably for the remainder of 2011, it's right over there somewhere. Let's see, make this short and sweet. You can also get certified for Five Path and video, as you well know, and you can do that. And also, if you can't make it live to my class, you can also be live off-site through the internet. There's information there also in that amazing column over there. All right, enough of that kind of stuff. Let's get into finding out what Meredith thinks. I mean, that's really the important thing. We haven't seen her in so long. I mean, well, there was last episode, but it had been weeks and weeks and weeks while Elron and I were, doing some controversial topics. And it's always fun to have Meredith come back and put in her 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 cents worth of stuff. Let me just kind of, Meredith, if it's okay, I'll just kind of read through some of the topics, and you can talk as little or as much as you want about each one. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Now, at last episode, what did we talk about? One of the controversial topics.
Was the last episode should obese people do hypnosis?
No, I mean, the last
one.
Our
last episode. I thought you were getting me to start the list. Last episode, we talked about the touch.
Okay, good. So now let's talk about, how do you feel about obese? I mean, people who, are obviously overweight doing hypnosis for weight loss or really hypnosis sessions for any kind of self-improvement.
Yeah, here's what I really think about that. I think because hypnosis is a confidence game, it mostly matters how you feel about yourself. If you feel out of integrity because you are a smoker and you are helping people to stop smoking, but you don't feel good about the fact that you're smoking yourself, that's a problem. But if you have chosen smoking to be something that you want to have as a part of your life, and you've chosen the consequences, and you feel good about it, and you realize that that is your option, and that you can help other people to stop it from being one of their options, then I think that if you're in alignment, there's no reason why you couldn't and shouldn't do that. Personally, if I were working with somebody with anorexia or with bulimia, and I was, restricting food, or I was binging and purging food on my own, because restricting food too much or binging and purging just doesn't feel good, I would have a hard time. I would not feel an integrity if I were trying to help other people with the same problems. Because if I can't beat it myself, how can I help them beat it? There's not enough confidence there. And somehow energetically in the mix, they're going to feel that. And I'm not going to be my best if I can't 100% stand up in front of them and show them that I can help people to beat it, including myself. Obesity, same thing. If someone really enjoys where their body is at and they feel great about their weight and they enjoy carrying around that extra weight and they feel like that's just a life choice that they have made and they align with it fully, and if their clients don't have an issue with them being overweight and don't see that as being an impediment, then I don't see it as being that big of a problem. But most people who are carrying around a lot of extra weight really don't enjoy it. I mean, you pick up 50, 60, 100 extra pounds and walk around every day with it. It's a burden. And so most people who are carrying around that burden don't love carrying around that burden, and they're not going to be as effective in helping other people to release the burden if they can't do it themselves.
Awesome. What do you think of sumo wrestlers doing hypnotherapy?
I'm all for it, Cal.
There's an example of someone that most people would consider to be obese, but they're totally in harmony with where they want to be with their weight, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's right.
So, I don't think there's anything wrong with these life choices. Some people just really love food, and it's one of the distinct pleasures we get here in physical form that we get to enjoy food. Some people are very gourmet. They eat more calories than their body actually needs to maintain a low body weight, and that's worth it to them. It's a trade-off that's worth it, and they love who they are and where their body is at. They feel good about it. And so, yes, anyone who's in harmony with their weight, in harmony with their life choice and their body, absolutely is in a space of empowerment to be able to help other people to also be in harmony.
Exactly. And, I want to also, you slipped a little phrase that I like to use once in a while, and that is, hypnosis is a confidence game. And if someone heard that for the first time, they don't know the whole thing, then they might think that we're trying to say that hypnosis is sleazy in some way. So you want to explain that phrase a little bit? It's one of the Banyanisms.
Yeah, I mean, essentially my understanding of it is that, you need to believe in what you are doing for it to be effective. If you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe in the tools that you're using, if you don't believe they are effective in and of themselves, the most effective tool in the world will not be effective. And so, if you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you're right, right? And I'm not sure who said, I think I'm paraphrasing, but that's a quote from somebody pretty awesome. It's true. And so we need to have confidence in the hypnosis tools that we use in our inductions, in our deepening techniques, in our testers and convincers, and we need to have confidence in the strategy that we have as a hypnotherapist. And we also need to have confidence in ourselves and our own personal skills, interactive skills, professional skills, all of that. And if we don't, the clients will feel it. They may not consciously know it, but they will feel it subconsciously, and it will lessen your result.
Yeah, and really that's the other side of that is the idea of we use that phrase to say hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there will be no game. And so how you present yourself and how you work with the client is either going to build confidence in the client or not. And to the degree that you can build confidence in the client, and certainly your appearance and your odor or lack thereof can have an effect on how much confidence your client has in you.
Yeah, I'll also say that there are regional issues as well. You know, in Los Angeles, what is considered thin in Los Angeles is very different than what is considered thin in Oklahoma or somewhere back east, you know, Midwest or back east. And so someone coming to me in Los Angeles wanting to lose weight, a lot of my clients, no one in the world would really consider them to be overweight. And if I was carrying around a lot of extra weight, I know they would lose confidence in my ability to get them where they want to go. You know, but if I were seeing clients in other areas of the United States and possibly other areas of the world, you know, certainly carrying around an extra 10, 15, 20 pounds would not affect my ability to instill or encourage confidence in clients. It's just kind of a different thing. It's more important for me in LA, I find, to have, you know, to be in shape and feel good about my body and to be lean, because there is more there is more superficiality, and being thin is you need to be very thin in LA to be accepted as thin. So what do you want to say about that, Cal?
Oh boy. You know, one of the things I think I want to say about that is that too many people go through certification training and then lack the confidence to get started because they themselves are overweight or not a good example of what hypnosis can do. And so I have a message. If you're holding back on doing hypnotherapy and doing what you've learned in your courses because you're not, you know, the picture of health or a good example, then guess what? Find a hypnotherapist or actually start using the self-hypnosis you learned in your class and become a true believer by using the work on yourself. You hear Meredith talk about how she's undergone age regression, or I talk about how I've used 7-PATH or consistently used 7-PATH in my life, which is our self-hypnosis program. Be an example of what hypnosis can do. And then you, as a true believer, you are going to just pull clients to you and you're going to improve the profession. All right. What I'd like to do is move on to another topic, if that's okay, because we're like almost 12 minutes into this podcast already.
Yes, we are. Let's move on.
All right. What do you think about giving incentives for referrals?
You know what, Cal? I don't do it. I feel like it gets complicated, and I like to keep things simple. I don't have a big judgment against it. It's just not something that I choose to do. I have had clients who send me, you know, that kind of referral where clients send me a lot of clients. And, you know, if they keep sending me a lot of clients and these lots of clients do a lot of sessions, at some point I might just go, you know what? I'm going to offer you a free session because you have been so prolific in spreading the word about me, and I just want to show you my appreciation, so I'm going to give you this gift. And they really appreciate that. I don't give them any details about who has come to me because I believe in confidentiality, but I will just say, generally speaking, at some point, you've really given me a lot of business, and to thank you, here's a free session. It can be a booster session. It can be part of a secondary process if you want to work on something else, but it's up to you how you use it, when you use it. It's yours to use when you want to use it. As far as referrals from other professionals, no, I do want people to do it because they believe in what I do and not because they're doing it to get something from me. So I don't do it.
I like that. All right. How about working with kids with 5-PATH? I mean, is that appropriate? And also you can also elaborate on should parents sit in on that? And how do you feel about reporting abuse?
Gosh, parents absolutely will not sit in on my sessions with children. I do a lot of work with children and teenagers, love doing that work. They're amazing, amazing candidates. Really get it quickly. I find I can move through a process very quickly with children, and that often they aren't as much the issue. They aren't as much the challenge. It is kind of their environment that is more of the problem, but helping them to see their environment differently is my goal. And I see 5PATH as being a tremendous tool to working with children of all ages. I mean, I've done 5PATH with children as young as 5 years old. Typically younger than that, there just isn't enough of an attention span, but I would be willing to adapt it in a way that I could work with even younger if they were willing and able to sit in the chair for just a little bit of time. Of course, sessions are shorter, and they are kind of simplified for the child's mind, and there are a few minor tweaks that I make, but I never allow a parent to sit in, and that has to be agreed upon ahead of time. I want the child to be fully free to share anything and everything that they want without worrying about offending their parent or disappointing their parent. And if a parent isn't okay with that, then I'm sorry, I just won't work with them. What was the other part of that issue?
I scribbled it all out. Let's see here, because when I get done with it, then I scribble it out. Let me see here. I'll look very closely. Reporting abuse.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And I do let my clients know when I work with any minor under the age of 18 that, you know, if I do find out anything that where they are a danger to self or others, that it will be reported. I do very much believe in that. Of course, whether it's required or not is dependent on the state that you are practicing in, but I was already familiar with that process and kind of aligned with that process when I worked in the more traditional therapeutic field before. So yes, if I find abuse, I will report it, and I am clear with parents ahead of time about that.
Wow, this is turning out to be what Meredith Thinks About Everything podcast. Let me give you another one here. Should instructors and students do real therapy on the students in the classroom, during the classroom?
That very much depends. And I would say generally, no. But on the other hand, if it's done correctly, I've experienced my own therapeutic shifts in your classes, and I know I've watched other people do it. It needs to be a proper setup. So it needs to be a situation where there is, it is a safe space, where there is trust, where it's not forced on anyone, where the person being involved has given permission and they kind of know what they're getting into, and there needs to be an allowance for them to say, no, this feels like too much for me right now, and the instructor really should respect that and not push harder, because it is a group setting, and sometimes it is too far to go for some people. So I think that there is a time and place for all things, and so sometimes it can be done well, but it should not be done lightly, and it should be done with great respect and sensitivity.
Okay, now one of the things that could confuse our audience here is I take a stand against doing hypnotherapy live in classes, and now you're saying that you experience shifts with what I do with you in class. And one of the things we might talk about is that the work that I did, like with you and other people in class, is not your typical hypnotherapy approach. What we would do is we would do like 7PATH work, where you'd be doing self-hypnosis, and then after you emerge from self-hypnosis, there would still be some feelings in the body or something like that, and we would do a kind of waking hypnosis time tunneling technique kind of thing. So it's a little bit, the client has a little bit more, not the client, the student who is experiencing the transformation is much more in a closer to a normal waking state as opposed to being in somnambulism and so highly suggestible. Can you kind of clarify that?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Thank you for making that point. Yes, I was completely not in hypnosis. I was in the full awake and clear state, and had the ability to choose what I said and how much information I gave, and how far I let it go. So you allowed me, because of the way you did it, to be entirely in control within the group setting, as opposed to someone who might be doing it in a hypnosis state where, although they are in control, they are in somnambulism and so more suggestible and less likely to kind of phrase things in a way or save themselves in a way from some embarrassment or some, you know, obviously if you're in hypnosis, you're not going to get as good of a result, because you are going to either limit yourself or you're going to say so much that you might feel uncomfortable that you've shared too much in front of the group. And so in the hypnotic state, highly advocate against. In the awake state, using some of the self-hypnosis and some of the techniques that you use in hypnosis, it can be highly therapeutic and allows the student to feel more safe and in control.
Can you believe it? That's 20 minutes?
It is 20 minutes. It is. I can't believe it. We are in a time vortex.
We're just time tunneling along.
We are.
All right. So wrap it up.
All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I do hope you've enjoyed my opinions. And I look forward to sharing more with you in an upcoming episode. We are going to get deeper into time tunneling technique. So look forward to that. Definitely tune in. You can find out more about me at yourpathhypnosis.com. You can send your questions and comments to me directly, Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com, or just post them right down there on calbanion.com. We love your comments, love your questions. Really appreciate all of you who consistently follow the show and comment and ask questions on a regular basis and even occasionally. Thank you so much. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Thank you, Meredith. So awesome to have you back. And let's see, for me to wrap it up, oh, I know. I've been experimenting and doing some research with marketing. And, you know, nowadays when the economy's kind of tough, we need to think of really ways to work smarter, not harder. And so I've been kind of looking around on the internet and also actually designing some items that you could wear or have around you that would cause people to ask you about hypnosis. So I'm sure I'm going to have a link down there, something like that. Check it out. I think you're going to enjoy the designs by myself and other people, that if you just wore these items, it might be a hat, it might be a shirt, it might be a keychain, it could cause people to ask you about what you do. And we are so fortunate that as hypnotists, what we do is very interesting, and almost everybody out there has a problem that nothing has worked to help them fix, or they have a family member or friend that they want to help out who has a problem that they haven't fixed, and they're going to ask you, will hypnosis work for? And you can say, yes, that's easy. We do it all the time. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.